Yonish, Mr. Frank Ben Ashur. We left off last week. We were talking about the Malach Bishul, but we were talking about not me personally being Mavasha. We were talking about a phenomenon that Chazal realized that if we continue this practice, it may lead to violations of Bishul. And that was the issue of washing and bathing and the bathhouses on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us that in the olden days, people used to go to the bathhouse on Friday night. What was the big deal? As long as the water was heated up before Shabbos, there's nothing wrong with that. And then in the later generation, the days of the Tanoim, they realized that some of the bathhouse attendants, they were called the Balonim. So the Balonim weren't such scrupulous individuals. They wanted to make an extra dollar. So they ran out of water. They would heat up the water on Shabbos itself, which of course would be a terrible prohibition, would be Bishul Min HaTorah. So in order to prevent this practice, Chazal basically insisted you have to close the bathhouses on Shabbos. For a short period of time, they let the bathhouses stay open and only use the schwitzes, only use the steam rooms. And then they realized even that wasn't a good idea. And at the end of the day, they ousted everything. So you're not allowed to take baths, you're not allowed to shower, you're not allowed to wash, steam, any you name it, all the things are off limits. All what it's called is a general gezeira called gezeira sabalonim. The bathhouse attendants got a gezeira named after them. It's either called gezeira sabalonim or gezeira mechatzos. It's again, it's all the same, the basic gezeira. So the question becomes, how does this play out for us, Bisman Hazeh, in terms of not bathing and showering and washing with potentially with hot water on Shabbos, then by extension of Yontif? So in terms of actually turning on hot water on Shabbos, so that's out of the question, because the way our systems are set up, unless one has an alternate system, but the way our systems are set up, someone turns on the hot water, so that will inevitably bring some cold water into the tank, and that's a very, very serious problem. So that's a malacha deraisa, potentially a psikreisha, the nichle, the person probably wants some extra hot water, but therefore under no circumstances can a person turn on hot water on Shabbos. I didn't say Yom Tov, just on Shabbos, one cannot turn on hot water. If one has a system, or one closes one system, or sets up one system in such a way that there is no water, then they have to consult the rough to see whether that actually is going to work. I mean, that's not so simple, but the way all of our houses and our apartment buildings, everything is all set up today, so then under no circumstances can one turn on the hot water. However, how does this play out in terms of hot water that was heated up for before or other kinds of situations in terms of potentially bathing, potentially showering, washing on Shabbos? So although this is an issur of the Rabbanan, this gezeiras habalanim, one could approach this issur de Rabbanan almost from the following vantage point, and maybe it's a little bit of a lower level issur de Rabbanan. We know that not all issur de Rabbanan are created equal. There are certain issur de Rabbanan that are more serious, that are more problematic, and there are some that Chazal are a little bit more lenient about. So we have reason to believe that this gezeira de Rabbanan may have been a little bit less than some of the others, because here we're not really concerned that you're going to violate an issur. Your average person, we're not afraid you're going to go ahead and cook the water. What the real fear was is that, almost like for the society, for the general community, we can't leave the bathhouses open. We can't have people bathing because somebody down one, somebody else who's not so from, is going ahead and doing this. So it's not the same as other Yisroel Rabbanan. Let's say, for example, certain Yisroel Rabbanan are not allowed to leave food on the fire on Shabbos in certain circumstances. We're afraid Shem Yichat Begicholim. We're afraid that you may end up doing the malacha. That's a direct statement to you. That if you leave the food in such a way, you may do a malacha. Well, let's say you shouldn't move a pencil, because if you stop moving pencils, so it's very very likely you're going to end up starting to write with the pencils. So when you're dealing with the Issurim de Rabbanan that speak to the individuals, that's a much more serious concern. Here, we don't think that most people are really from. Most people, if you tell them they can go take a bath on Friday night, they're not going to turn on the hot water on Friday night. Most people are not going to do that. What we're afraid of is there's going to be a couple of guys out there who are running the bathhouses who are going to do things like you did. So that may lead us to believe that although this gezeira has to be observed, still miss it with the Rabbanan, maybe it's on a lower level of other gezeiras. Might have shemin ladina, but it's also, who cares whether it's a lower level of issur. So the Rambam writes that, let's say a person really, really needs that water on Shabbos, that they're mitzdaya, they're very, very uncomfortable, they're dying, but they're very, very uncomfortable, they really need hot water on Shabbos, and they don't have any hot water. The only person that has hot water is the goy has hot water, and in order for the goy to bring that water, he's going to bring it out of the Eruv. So we spoke a little bit about that last week, about the water for the bris. So the Rambam writes that if the goy has to bring the water out of the Eruv, so carrying out of the Eruv is probably the Rabbanim anyway. Why? Even though carrying is a malacha deraisa, but in order for something to be carrying min haTorah, a lot of conditions have to be met. And there he has to be a Rosh Hashanah Derais. It's got to be the real McCoy. In order to be a Rosh Hashanah Derais, and the streets have to be a certain size, and according to some, they have to be a certain amount of people, they have to be shaped in a certain way. A lot of conditions have to be necessary in order for an area, any given area, to be a real bona fide Rosh Hashanah in the Torah. It's generally assumed that most of the places that we live in, for one reason or another, are not real Rosh Hashanah Derais. Now, just parenthetically, that's what gives us the right to build our Erevin today. The Gemara says in Shabbos and Erevin, that the way we build Erevin today, that we just have to, there's a Pesach, we have wires and lines and poles and that kind of stuff, telephone poles. So those kind of shtick of building an Erev that way only worked because the area involved was only Drabanan anyway. If the area would have been a real Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, then you would have had to build the Erev in a much, much different way. You would have had to surround the area with walls, and you had to close the walls at night. It would have been much, much more complicated. It would have been practically almost impossible to do in any real sense of the word. There was a, I don't know if it still is, but at one time there was a kunst that was trying to, in different evolutions of the Erev in Manhattan over the different generations. So at least at one point, it could be still now, that they wanted to be able to close off certain parts of Manhattan to make it what's called the Dlosses Arunos Balayla. The Gemara talks in the beginning of the second Erevin that if you have an area that you want to close off, and you close it off with the walls, so then you can't close it totally with walls because then no one can walk in and out. So you have to have a door. So you have to be able to lock the door at night. If you have a walled area, then you lock the doors at night, so that's a much higher kind of an Erev. So then there's a Machlekes Rishonim. Does it mean you have to literally close the doors every single night? You have to close them. Or at least you have to have the potential to close them. Once in a blue moon, you have to close them just to show your potential to close them. So in Europe, there used to be a minig in certain cities that they would make these like makeshift doors, and every once in a while, every couple of months or so, they would lock them one night or something to show that they had lost their little spalala. So in Manhattan, somebody tried to pull off, they tried to pull this off also. So they had these like makeshift doors in certain streets in Manhattan that they would close them off for a short amount of time. So what night of the year did they used to close off the, anyone help? Trivia? What night? No, the night before Thanksgiving. Why? Because anyway, half the streets were closed off and they were setting up the Macy Day's parade. You got to deal a little bit. So anyway, the police were closing up the streets and they got special permission to put up the air of doors for 10 minutes on that night before the balloons were being piled in. Again, I don't know whether they still do it or not, but at one time there was a movement that had lost and was polite. From that story. So the din is that the fact that we permit air of today in so many of our places, that's we're assuming that for whatever technical reason, our areas are probably not Rosh Hashanah Derais. So the Rambam is also describing such a phenomenon that you want to ask the guy to carry the water for you through an area that's only Derabbanan anyway. So the Rambam writes, okay, not so terrible. That's what we call a Shavus Tishvus. I'm not doing it myself. I'm asking the non-Jew. And the non-Jew himself is carrying the area that's only Derabbanan anyway. So that's a lot of things in my favor. It's a Shavus Tishvus, Mokom Tsar, etc. So the Rambam says that's okay. So the Quranim asks, that's okay to ask the non-Jew, but how is that mock you to use the water? In the end of the day, you're washing yourself in the hot water. So that's not a shvus to shvus. That's one shvus. One is the Rabbanan. So how could that be mutter? So the Rambam must be saying that the Issa the Rabbanan of the Deris Abalonim is mutter, but Mokom Tsar. The person is very, very uncomfortable, so that would be sufficient ground to permit him to, quote unquote, violate this Issa the Rabbanan. Normally, Yisroel Derabbanan are not just stam lifted from Mokom Tzar. Some yes, some no. So this must be one of those kinds of Yisroel that are lifted from Mokom Tzar. That's what today gives me diet from the Rambam. How painful does the person have to be? How much agony does the person have to be? It's not clear. It can't be that just feels a little bit, I feel a little sweaty. I had a little, you know, walked outside in the summer, I feel a little bit sweaty. I want to go run to find the guy who was hot water. You know, not so simple. So we're not sure exactly where to draw the line of what's considered to be the stat. Anyway, the person can't turn on the hot water anyway. So turn on the hot water today, then it's a deraisa. So this is a very nice cooler, but it's almost a moot cooler because it's mutter b'makom mitzvah to take a hot shower. In theory, if you're really going to mitzvah enough, you can take a hot shower. How can you get the water hot if it's also to heat up the water in the first place? So you have to go find a guy who has hot water sitting in his bathtub for you and let him go. Not the most likely case. So Rav Moshe writes that even though it's not so practical, this cooler, but we can apply it as manazer for the following. The Iker Adin is that one is allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos. That was never Gezeres HaBalonim. Gezeres HaBalonim was not to take a hot shower. You've got to take a cold shower. You stay, you're allowed to take a cold shower. So there's a Minig Yisrael, and Abraham already quotes this, an age-old Minig Yisrael, that a person doesn't bathe on Shabbos, even in cold water. You don't take a cold shower on Shabbos either. Why not, my high? So the Poskim say, because there are so many shadows that come up during the course of showering, even though, again, the Iker Adin cold shower should have been mutter. There's nothing to worry about. No one's heating up the water for a cold shower. there are so many problems. When you take a shower, there are issues about using towels, and there are issues about the washing your hair and squeezing out your hair, and the issues of using soap. So many pitfalls can take place in the course of bathing, showering, and Shabbos. Therefore, the minhag in Europe was for hundreds of years not to take even cold showers on Shabbos. So Moshe writes that that minhag applies if a person is not in a great tzach. If a person is in a great tzach, Chazal lifted even the real issur. They lifted the issur, the rabban of Gezeres HaBalon, that was the real mekor, that was an issur that was made with beis and agavim, with beis and udan osim. It was a real bona fide issur, the rabban, not to bathe in hot water. Even not to lift the macham tzar, so kal b'chaymer we should lift this minig of not bathing in cold water if it's a macham tzar. Depends on how big a macham tzar is. Again, the person's very, very, very uncomfortable, so then they should consult with the rav to see maybe the grounds to give it a cold shower. A hot shower, how you can do it? How you can get the water hot in the first place? So it's not so practical as much. Nevertheless, it does become practical in the following. This issue of potentially circumventing this issur derabbanan, violating this otherwise issur derabbanan, makom tzar, became part of the background to a very, very important discussion. Probably the most important application of the issue of bathing, and showering on Shabbos, and that's the issue of the mikvah. If a person goes to the mikvah on Friday night, the question becomes, can they go to a hot mikvah? Is there anything wrong with going to a hot mikvah? So the starting point of many, many poskim was that that's a potential problem, that we have to either can't solve the problem or we have to think of some kind of a solution to the problem. So there was a big discussion already for hundreds and hundreds of years in the Dovya poskim about, is there a way to sanction the practice of women going to the mikvah on Friday night when the water is hot? Maybe we should take the attitude they can't do that. They have to go to the cold mikvah. You can't go to the hot mikvah. Because going into the mikvah, that's considered to be bathing in hot water. Bathing in hot water is considered to be a violation of Gezeres Mechatzos, or Gezeres HaBalonim. So even before you get to the issue of Friday night, there was a predated question way before the Friday night issue. Forget about Friday night. What about Tuesday night? Can you go to a mikvah that's heated? Possibly you're only going to a mikvah that's heated. So the Gemara has a line of a sentence to Giga, Tevila b'chamen miyikra. There's a chayach that you can have a hot mikvah. Lo yitochin. Who heard of a hot mikvah? So there's a machlekes in Rishonim what that question means. So many, many Rishonim say what that question just meant was a practical, a logistical a practical question. Namely, how in the world are you going to heat up the mikvah? What was the only way to heat up water in the olden days was to take water, put it into a pot, put it on the fire, and heat up. There was no center, there was no boiling, there was no electricity. So you had to do it the old style way, you had to heat up pots of water. So how in the world are you going to heat up a mikvah? A mikvah water can't be water that was in a kli. There's no way any water that was in a pot is possible for a mikvah. It's mayim shuvim. So the only way you can have a kosher mikvah is the water has to come directly from the sky. So that's what the Gemara asked. Tefil b'cham yikah. How you get past the heat up? It's not shy. It's not practical. If you could figure out a kunz, how to heat it up, if you could figure out some kind of a nisa, how to heat up water, because today the Gemara wasn't making a halachic statement. The Gemara was just saying 9 out of 10 mikvahs are going to be ice cold because tefil b'cham yikah. It's just not practical to heat up mikvah water. And other Rishonim say no. When the Gemara said tefil b'cham yikah, the Gemara meant it halachically, that it is impossible halachically to have a hot mikvah because it is a problem. It is also to have a hot water. You're not allowed to have heated water in a mikvah. Why is that? Because of a gezeir v'shemayim shuvim. Since the normal way of heating up water in the old days was through pots of water, so even though you're going to come to the kunz to heat up the water without putting the water into a pot, the next guy is going to say, hey, that mikvah was really comfortable. I don't have that fancy system that the other guy has. I'll just do it the old-fashioned way, and that'll pass on a mikvah, mayim shuvim. As a machlekes of Rishonim, with mayim shuvim passed the mikvah in a Torah v'derabon, a more paskins that passed the mikvah in deraisa. So you're going to end up with a posel mikvah. You're going to have a hot mikvah. Next thing you know, you're going to have a posel mikvah. So therefore, some Rishonim learned that all mikvahs have to be cold. You're not allowed to hit the mikvah b'chlal. Nothing to do with Shabbos. Even on a Tuesday night, the mikvah has to be ice cold. So that was the machlekes of Rishonim. So there are more rites at the very end of the mikvah. So that minig is l'chokel. We have a minig for hundreds of years that we're made of like Rova Rishonim. That it's only Shabbat derabon, it's not Shabbat deraisa. But we're not told if you could figure out a way to do it without passing the water, that's okay. The fact that there, according to some Rishonim, there was an independent gezeirah derabon against hot mikvahs, we assume that's not correct. And therefore, our minig is we have hot mikvahs during the week. Oh, very good, excellent. So the Mishnah Maseches Yuma tells us that the Kohen Gadol, they used to heat up the water from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. They had a special kunza to do it. They threw the hot piece of metal into the water. So some Rishonim write that in Rechinami, that for the Kohen Gadol was acceptable, but we have rule Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that in the base of Mikdash, we only invoke standards deraisa. We don't generally institute Yisurim Derabon in the base of Mikdash, because Yisurim Derabon were instituted to protect us, like we spoke in the Sifas Musi yesterday, Shmartis Mishmarti, they're there to protect us from violating Yisurim. In the base of Mikdash, the Sanhedrin, the Kohen Gadol, the Shechina is the animal. Who's going to bother the Yisur? So therefore, the standards in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says in Erev, are very often lower than they were in the rest of the world. So some Rishonim have a very, very strange thing. They say that the mikvah that the Kohen Gadol used in Yom Kippur was posel. That means if our wives would want to use that mikvah, we'd say, no, you can't use that mikvah, it's posel. But since it's only posel with the Rabbanon, therefore they lifted that Issa to Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash. And most of the Rishonim say that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sit right with us. The mikvah that came, well, no, use the gold knife of it was really possible with the Rabbanon. Come on, it can't be. That was the highest mikvah, the best mikvah in the world. So we assume the halacha like the mikvah. That's what the Rambam writes. So the Yerachah Shulchan writes at the very end of Hilchos Mikvos, he writes that the Rambam writes that the meaning of the Ashkenazi communities was always lahakil. So the Yerachah Shulchan writes, he said, it had to be lahakil. He said, you ever see how cold it is outside? The Yerachah Shulchan lived in Nevardik. Nevardik is up in Lithuania. He said, in the middle of January, right in the Vaidik, if you go tell the women they have to go to an unheated mikvah, he said, no one's going to know the mikvah. He said, it's a shasr chagol. It's a shasr chagol. What is that? So he says, the Ashkenazi communities have always lived in the northern parts of the cold, cold climates in Europe. He said, they're only going to be mikvah. So it's not shaykh. He writes that, he said, Marana Beit Yosef. He said, Beit Yosef lived in Eretz Yisrael. You want to be machmir? You can't be, it's impossible to be machmir about this in America. They see it in Eretz Yisrael, depends where you are. The cold mikvahs in Eretz Yisrael also freezing. He said, you go to the Ariz mikvah in Tzfat, they says it's a little in Tzfat. You go to the unheated, pure spring of the, they said it's freezing cold in July. He said, anyone ever go there in the wintertime? I couldn't bring myself to go when I was once in Tzfat, it was in December. I was standing there watching the Hasidim going into the mikvah. I remember Kabuchar, Mabach in July it's freezing. In December it's But the Yerachah Shulchan didn't know how cold it was in Tzfat. So he writes that in Tzfat it wasn't so bad. But you can just imagine how cold the Vardik was in the wintertime. So the bottom line is that meaning is Ashkenazim, sure, I think it's fine to make this also. That we have heated mikvahs all week long. The problem is, what about Friday night? So back to the Shabbos Shabbos. So we solved the mikvah Shabbos. What about the Friday night Shabbos? This is a big, big issue in the poskim. So one of the Acharonim writes that he thinks we have a right to be naked on the Shaila to have heated mikvahs even on Friday night because of this Rabbi Kinegi, because of this Rambam. That's a makom tzar. What's the makom tzar? The woman wants to go to the mikvah. She has every right to go. It's allowed to feel. She's supposed to go to the mikvah. Ella Wah, but tell her, no, you can't go to the mikvah. When it's hot, you have to go to an ice cold mikvah. It's Kamash in the Tzar, go to the mikvah. So Kivega was cool with a player also. That here, it's a funny kind of a Tzar. It's not exactly the same. In the case of Kivega, in the Rambam we're discussing, the person has some kind of a physical condition. There's a lot of agony. And the only way to solve their agony is to go into warm water. Here, the person's not in agony. She's perfectly comfortable. Except that the halacha says she should go to the mikvah tonight. So she should go to the mikvah tonight. So now, if she'll go to the cold mikvah, she'll be in agony. So we're going to mock to her to go to the hot mikvah to avoid being in agony for going into the cold mikvah. So it's a little bit more stretch of the kinega. So some acharonim buy into that. Acharonim didn't like that idea. Acharonim thought that was a stretch of the kula. So what other kulas are potentially available for us? So the other acharonim will say that maybe you don't have to find the kula because maybe it was never us in the first place. This is not called Rechitza B'chamin. The Yisra the Rabbanu was not to bathe yourself in hot water. This is not bathing yourself. This is not a shah, not a bath. This is just a tevil. Tevil l'chud, Rechitza l'chud. That the Yisra was never Rechitza to run tevil b'mikvah. If that's the case, that the Yisra was never Rechitza, they don't have to look for a kula. So there are again two different approaches. Some Acharonim say that it's not also we got to find the Fadegala kula, Machutzar, something like that. Another Acharonim say it was never also in the first place. And then there are other group of Acharonim who say, no, that the questions are better than the answers. The Taka was also in the first place. The Tevila is considered to be also like a form of Rechitza. So it is also with the Rabbanim. And Mokum Tzar is a funny kind of a kula over here. So we have to come up with another kula. So what other kulas can we come up with? So Nachman said, there are no kulas. So Nachman said, Taka can't. The Nachman's got to go cold. But those communities in Europe that will make them, the communities in America that will for sure make them, including our own community, to the best of my knowledge, the mikvah is heated on Friday night. So obviously we have things on systems, but before no one's heating up the water, everything is on an automatic system. So what right do we have to be making? What's the smell of hakel? So it's not 100% clear. So there was a Chesvi that came up with a very fascinating solution to this problem, a very, very lumdish solution that many, many poskim didn't like to equal the degree of lumdish. He came up with the following answer. He said this iser, gezeiras habalonim, is only an iser derabanan. If you're heating up the water yourself, that's a deraisa. But if the heat water was heated up from beforehand, it's worse than an iser derabanan. And this is the Rabbanan, Mikra didn't, we could say Safik to Rabbanan Lakula. What's the Safik to Rabbanan Lakula? Let the woman go to Ramban HaShemashos. Ramban HaShemashos, so it's not clear exactly which Yisroel the Rabbanan apply. I'm going to guess, when Ramban HaShemashos comes, nobody moves Mukta, nobody knows the Rabbanan to Ramban HaShemashos. But you, there's a Machlaik is after knowing about this. You could argue that maybe the son of the Rabbanan is maybe a Mutter to Ramban HaShemashos. So Chamsvi said that maybe what we should tell the woman to do is she should go to the Mikvah to Ramban HaShemashos. And that way you can avoid violating the Yisroel of going in the hot water. So let her go. She'll be very happy about that. She wants to be home earlier anyway. So as soon as it's here, as soon as it gets after sunset, we'll let her go to the mikvah during Ben Hashemashos. Why isn't that such a great solution? Because that solves one problem, but it creates a whole other problem. What's the other problem? The Gemara at the very end of Maseches Nida says that a woman is not supposed to be tovelos bayom. There's an issa for a woman. A woman goes to the mikvah, so she has to go to the mikvah dafka at night. Why is that? So the Gemara explains that if she's a nida d'oraisa, means she's counting her shivas yom tiyav d'nidasa. Not where we practice Nida today. We practice Nida today. We have Chumash D'Rabbanan and Zavos, etc. But the pure Din D'Oraisa, Shivas Yom Tiyah B'Nidasa. So the woman that starts to have Riyas Dam on a Sunday, so she counts Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. She counts 7 days. Whether she's seeing or not seeing, doesn't matter. And then it's a Shabbos, she goes to the Mikvah. Shivas Yom Tiyah B'Nidasa, as long as the bleeding stops, Shivas Yom Tiyah B'Nidasa. So the din is, it has to be Shivas Yom, it has to be 7 full days. So if she would go to the mikvah with Yod Yom, that would be a problem in the Raisa. That would be a disaster in the Torah. That would be terrible. So Isha lo titvol mayoyim, that would be a din in the Torah. Let's say she wants to go to the mikvah the next night. She doesn't want to go to the Tisha. She'll wait till the next night, and she'll go maybe Yod Yom then. So mikra din, that would be okay. In the Torah, what's wrong? She waited the 7 days, maybe. What could be wrong? So the message says, there's a gezer, what's called the gezer shim srach bita. And we're afraid that if a daughter sees her going to the mikvah Bibi Yod Yom, the daughter's going to think, oh, you're allowed to go to the mikvah Bibi Yod Yom, and that's a problem. Because if you go to the mikvah Bibi Yod Yom, that will be potentially the Araisa. So therefore, Chazal made a gezeira that in the Torah, you're not allowed to go if it's the end of the 7 days, and the Rabbani is not allowed to go if it's even after the 7 days. And then the Gemara and the Rishon can pull the whole thing over, push the whole thing over in terms of Zavah, the way we observe Shilchus Nida today. So nobody's going after 7 days. The woman's waiting for Shiva Nakia. It's a whole other ballgame, a whole other story. So min HaTorah, you say on the last day of Shiva Nakia, you would say Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So min HaTorah, she's allowed to go to the mikvah Bibi Yod Yom all the time. The way we practice Chas Nida today, so she could always go to the mikvah Bibi Yod Yom min HaTorah. The Rabbanan, she's not allowed to Gezeira, to Srach Mita, for other reasons, etc. Gezeira, she may see half a dozen sugars. When you get to this will be the last daf. This will be the two daf after the siyum shas before Nida actually ends. So in those two daf, you learn all of Maseches Nida. Maseches Nida is written in a very, very unique way. That all the Darabonans come first, and then the last three blot, then you realize what the Darais are. So at the very, very end, the last two daf in Maseches Nida, so you'll figure this all out. So the bottom line is that all women today are not allowed to go to the Mikvah B'Yod Yom. But that's only a din with the Rabbanim. With the Raisa, technically you're allowed to go with the Yod Yom. With the Rabbanim, not allowed to. Because you're not allowed to go with the Yod Yom, with the Rabbanim, and then there may be certain reasons under certain very, very unique circumstances. The woman who can't go at night, maybe she's allowed to go with the Yod Yom, but under certain circumstances that the Rabbanim doesn't apply. Okay, we're not letting people see it right now. But that's the background of this discussion. So Chacham Tzvi writes as follows, that it's true, a woman is not allowed to go to the mikvah until the night time, but maybe we have a right to say, Safek Rabbanim Kul, when is the night? So Vashkir is a Safek Yom Safek Laila. So if going to the mikvah at night would have been a din d'oraisa, we would have insisted until it's Laila Gomor. So it's a Torah Rabbanim anyway, so then we can make a Safek Rabbanim Kul. So the Chamsvi said that we can let the woman go to the mikvah on Friday night, join Ben HaShemashos, for the based on the following cheshbon, that Lagabe the Isser of bathing in hot water, we'll say Safek Rabbanim Kul, maybe it's still in the daytime. And the guy with the Yisra D'Rabbanan of going to the mikvah by day will say, Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula, maybe it's nighttime already, so therefore we can let it go to the mikvah during Ben HaShemashos. That was the famous Kula Chamsi. So you're going to ask, this is worse than Davi Min Chamayim at 7 o'clock on Friday, right? This is like, you can't get a greater tithe than this after. That's what you're going to ask, right?
Well, kind of. But okay. The thing is,
you should be asked, that's the great thing.
More technically, by the heater, especially nowadays where it's automated, right?
Yeah.
If it's not on during Ben HaShemashos, then you're not even relying on it. Like, if you go 5 minutes after Shkia, and the heater didn't turn on those 5 minutes, you're not even relying on...
No, but the water's still hot. If you're not going to...
You can't even go in hot water that you heat before Shabbos.
Yeah, of course, though. Right. That's Xeris Ablon. That is Xeris, right. Even Xeris, I'm sorry, right, you should have said that. In the olden days, there was no way to heat up water behind there on Shabbos. So the Xeris Ablon was even if the water was heated on behind there. So again, so the Chamsuya, this Gevaldik, Razzle, Dazzle, Kula, you go to the mikvah during Ben HaShemashos, because Lagabe the Yisad Rabban of Beidin, we could say it's probably still Yom. Lagabe the Yisad Rabban of going to the Beyond Yom, we could say it's still Laila, and Shalom Yisrael. So many, many Achronim said, this is very, very difficult to accept. It's either one or the other. It can't be both. They got to be the same thing. It's the same tefillah. In the same split second, I'm going under the water. Make up your mind. Either it's Yom or Laila. It can't be Yom or Laila. So it's a very, very difficult coup. But there were some communities in Europe that followed this view of the Chacham Tzvi, and they let the women go to the mikvah. They insisted on the women going to the mikvah dafka b'nishmat. If I'm not mistaken, anyone here is familiar with the Broyas Menhagim? If I'm not mistaken, I think Broyas out of Yom Tzvi, I think, follows this. I think so. I think I don't want to say this.
All the women go.
It's a little b'nish rushes. The long Benish Rushes in the world. You need a chesish Benish Rushes for the Yekis. Everyone's on fire.
We do it. We open up.
And Broyas, which says they open up, the women can go down.
I believe so.
The women can go to the right. So it's the Shittos, but they daven Menchef Teshkia. And Broyas, that's Yadua, they daven Menchef Teshkia. So they daven Menchef Teshkia, so they let the women start to go to the right. If I'm not mistaken, that's the case. I know that in a certain mikvah in Eretz Israel, so I was told that maybe a lot of mikvahs in this particular one that I asked about, so they had told me that on Friday night, there are different Zmani Tefillahs that are given, depending on where you come from. If you're, I think some of the Sephardi communities will make, I think also this idea of the Benesh Mashos, Mr. Chamsu was a Sephardi, he was an Ashkenazi, who was a rabbi from Sephardi. That's why he was called Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, because to make the point of fact, he was a rabbi of a Sephardi community. So, I don't know if all the Sephardim follow this, but some of the Sephardi communities apparently follow this idea. Also, they permit Tefillah during Benesh Mashos, and the Yekis permit it. So I think this particular mikvah, it says it's Zman Tevila for people who have the custom of being maker to a Benesh Mashos, this is the Zman, and for the rest of us, the Zman is a little bit later. So again, this was one interesting idea. Again, this was a very, very big Kiddush. Many, many of those who follow have come to this community. I always say to people, if you wait 3 hours in the flesh, it's Melchis, and you say long slichas and Erev Kippur and all the above, then you can fly the school. If you just because you send the kids to Broyas doesn't mean you can rely on this school. So leave it at that. Anyway, but the bottom line is that many of us are going to buy into this idea of the Chacham Tzvi. So what's the answer to the question? So a couple of different answers. Either you have to fall back on some of the other things that we said before, or maybe say Rechadavi, maybe talk to Rechadavi. We really should. We should really have cold mikvahs on Friday night. We shouldn't permit this. Maybe one could argue that they don't have to be ice cold mikvahs. And when we speak about the gzeira of chamin, we speak about not toggling, not washing in hot water. So what's called hot water? How hot is hot? So there are different opinions in the poskim. So many, many poskim say that chamin means what's chamin b'loshim b'nei adam. It means if I consider this to be a hot shower, I consider this to be a hot bath. Every once in a while, I say, what is that running? How, what is that running so well in the house? It's Friday afternoon, you're the eighth person, you're trying to take a shower, and the water's not so hot. So sometimes you say, the water's ice cold. It's not ice cold. That's not the Ari's mikvah in December. It's ice cold. It's just not piping out like you'd like it to be. So if a losha b'nei adam, you consider it to be cool, not so hot, not so warm. So that's probably not included in the gezeiros of the lulav as well. There's some folks who have an interesting shia, the bikul. They say that as long as the water is not yatsa lettuce bowl, it's not, it's okay. If the gezeira d'rabbanan was only made in yatsa lettuce bowl, so you're probably wondering why would Chazal make a gezeira in yatsa lettuce bowl? People are going to get burnt. So the answer is that yatsa lettuce bowl means different things. That according to some poskim, yatsa lettuce bowl means that it's so hot that if you didn't know that it was hot, you would be shocked and you would move your hand to it. But if you're expecting the water to be hot, so then that's that. So that's not yet yatsa lettuce bowl. So it could be the water's not very, very hot. It's very, very comfortable, and it's not included in the gezeiros of the lulav. So again, there are different opinions about this. There are some mikvahs that lower the temperature a little bit, lower the setting a little bit for the Friday night tefillahs. I don't think, I have not heard any complaints yet, indeed, that the settings were too low. So my guess is that they're probably the same as the rest of the week. But there were some communities that had the meaning that they would make the water a little bit cooler than usual, that it should maybe be beneath the point of beginning. I think that the minig in many of our communities is to be making on this also. But we assume that either this is called the Mokom Mitzar, or the Gezer was never made on Tevilos, or made on Rechitza, different reasons that were given. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he discusses, what about the men? The men go to the mikvah. Some men go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, Yom Tov morning. So that's already more chomer. If a man would ask me, should he go to a heated mikvah on Shabbos morning, I would say no. He said, you want to be such so frum, you want to be such a Yerushalayim, go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, which is a midas chasidus, the mikvah we pass by the mikvah, you don't have to go to the mikvah every day. Those people have a midas chasidus, they want to follow to come to Sezer, other reasons they want to go to the mikvah every day. That's fine, it could be a chasim. Now in the Ravon Shalom's chasim, that means don't violate Yisum the Ravonim to have a midas chasidus. So we have no choice, the women never, what are you going to do? It's a tefillah, it's a din, we have no choice, we have to rely on the mikvah. But for the men should have to rely on the mikilim to go to a hot mikvah. So I'm not sure if that's right. If you don't find the cold mikvah, there are some that are cold mikvahs. If you go after enough people have gone in, you'll find that the mikvah will be cold already. So it's probably better. But again, there are many men, many position mikvahs are piping hot on Shabbos morning also. So they hold it's also a mikvah, so whatever the reason is. If I'm not mistaken, there are Chashukhan writes somewhere. He writes that when he talks about the idea of cooling off the mikvahs on Friday night, so he has a lashon in there, he says that one thing can't be. We can't cool off the mikvahs for the women, and then we're going to go to the hot mikvahs. So that's not nice. He writes a lashon like that. He says that either stand, if you want to cool off our mikvahs, you better cool off the men's mikvahs also. So that's what he writes, such a lashon. So again, he was a misnagid there, so I don't think he was the biggest fan of going to the mikvah anyway during the day for the men. But the chassidim will go to the mikvahs. So again, many of them probably will go to the hot mikvahs. Anyone know? Anyone been to the hot mikvahs? Anyone been to the mikvahs during the day on Shabbos? Okay, so I think that my guess is they're probably not so ice cold. So up until now, we've been talking about this gezeirah de rabbanon as it plays out in terms of Shabbos, and the truth is that, except for the issue of tefillah and mikveh, almost never relevant for us because the mice we're not turning on the water anywhere in Shabbos. So the way our heating devices are set up, it's very unlikely we're going to have this Shabbos. The real issue, the most significant issue, besides tefillah and mikveh, of this gezeiras habalonim, gezeiras mechatzelos, is the issue of Yom Tov. How and where and what does this play out in terms of Yom Tov? So there is a Beferish Mishnah in both Maseches Beitz and Maseches Shabbos that draws the following distinction about heating up water and Yom Tov. The starting point is everything should be mutter. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. So what's the Shabbos? So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to heat up water on Yom Tov to wash your hands, to wash your face, to wash your feet, etc. The Mishnah says, but what you're not allowed to do is to heat up water to wash your entire body. The question is, why not? What happened? So if you're allowed to heat up water for cooking, you're allowed to heat up water for washing, so why should you not be able to heat up water for bathing? So that's a multi-million dollar question. What's the answer to that question? So Tosfos already was the first one to pose that question. And Tosfos says that the reason why you can't heat up water for bathing your entire body is a throwback that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, is that concept is called the Dovash Eino Shav L'chol Nefesh. The Gemara Maseches Ksubos of Zion talks about doing exotic kinds of pleasures on Yom Tov. Person wants to light a fire in Yom Tov to burn the spices. We're going to leave out what exactly this is, what kind of spices they are. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, a cloud and aroma and something that burning these special things on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Even though the guys enjoy it, normally you're allowed to make fires for pre-existing flames in Yom Tov. The Gemara says no. Torah says, "Achashe ochel chol nefesh." Dovah shav chol nefesh means it has to be something that normal people like, and a normal daily kind of a thing. If a guy does an exotic kind of pleasure because he likes it, that's not covered by the heter of chol nefesh. That would be an issur in that Torah. The Gemara then goes on to say, "What if a person shechts a deer on Yom Tov?" Says most people don't eat deer's meat. Most people don't eat deer because you can't get it. But if you can get it, you can get it. People like to eat meat, but if you can get venison, okay. So people don't always get it, but that's not called enoshav. Enoshav chol nefesh means that's something that even if you have the opportunity to do it, most people don't like to make these aromas and burning these spices and some mashuda they can take. So that's what a dovash enoshav chol nefesh. Tosfos suggests in Masechta Shabbos, and maybe that's the same reason why you can't heat up water to take a shower on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. It's a site for taking a shower, although it's very enjoyable, but it's a dovash enoshav chol nefesh. Most people don't do that. Most people don't bathe. Again, don't forget the Bar Tosfos lived in the writing of the Middle Ages. Most people didn't bathe. Most people didn't take showers. And the Jews went to their bathhouse once a week for Erev Shabbos. The Goyim didn't even do that. They had months and years before a person would wash themselves. So Tosfos is right. A guy wants to take a shower on Shavuos, all of a sudden, Sukkos, he wants to take a shower. It's a Shabbat, the thing. That's like lighting a candle with the burning incenses or something. That's an unlikely kind of an event. And therefore, that's called a Dabash and a Shabbat Cholet. Therefore, Tosfos writes that to take a shower on heat up water for a shower in Yom Tov is an Issur D'oraisa. To wash your face, normal people wash their face all the time. Normal people wash their hands, they wash their feet. That's normal. Avraham Avinu. It's up the water, you wash off the feet and the sands. That's a normal thing to do. But to take an entire shower from head to toe, that's abnormal. And therefore, that would be an issur min ha-Torah. So, of course, if that's the pshat in this Mishnah, then one would have to reevaluate this Mishnah, this Bama Zeh. Maybe Dovah Shena Shom Kol Nefesh changes, as we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. So, we'll have to see what exactly the status of this Tosfos is, Bama Zeh, what other Rishonim say to Tosfos question, how this impacts in our bathing and showering. So, next, we'll start talking about the details of showering and bathing on Yom Kippur. It's always nice to talk about this in the middle of December. When I talk about it on Yom Kippur, so people get off the hits, they want to know what I really say. Now, we'll talk about it on this, and then maybe we'll give one or two conclusions of myself. Hopefully by Pesach, I won't forget what I said.